Thank you.
Okay. Should be ready to go.
Oh, we have bread. We made bread.
There we go.
We also would like to keep Angel in prayer as well. I believe Sister Sheila said that she had gainful employment and she wanted to go home and get changed, and we're so happy to hear that. But we also want to pray for her that she does make it back and that it sticks. And also we had a second guest this morning. Brother Joaquin's daughter, Amanda, she came by as well. And so let's keep her in prayer that she makes it back as well. And many more and many others, and of course many folks out there that are in this area, which is the 5800 block of Thornton Avenue in Newark, California. And if you happen to be following us or find yourself close to us, we certainly do invite you to join us at 10 a.m. for Bible study, and then at 11 for worship, and of course 6 p.m. for worship at night. So we want to keep a lot of people in prayer, as we said, but I certainly wanted to mention the two visitors this morning, and especially the young lady, Miss Angel. If you looked at the board, I said that I was going to be preaching on what is this thing about hate. I read something over the last few days that Brother Carey had written, and it just moved me, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit tonight. The world is so full of hate, I think it can wait a couple of weeks for me to talk about that. But I wanted to talk about, or try to see if I could not follow behind his lesson on, I think his lesson was just plain old lying. And what I began to think about is, you know, what lying does. And so I wanted to try to share that with you all this evening, and I pray that I do a good job at it. So what you can do, if you wish, you can open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And we are going to be going through the entire chapter of Ephesians. But as I said, I was reading that, and it really struck me because of the two, of that one particular thing about, you know, lying. I mean, that seems to be, we know we do it playfully. We do it jokingly. We always don't say that, you know, I'm just playing. But we do it a lot. And I wanted to make sure I started to catch myself, and I'm gonna start with the sermon because I'll be halfway through it and I won't even get to the title front thing. But John 8:44 is the first thing that came to mind. And if you remember that, that's when Jesus was talking to the crowd of people, and then he was telling them, and they were saying that we belong to Abraham and we've never been in bondage. And he was telling them, if you belong to Abraham, then you would appreciate it, because Abraham would appreciate what I'm doing. And then he went on to say that, and he began to tell them, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out his desires. Remember that? We talked about desires. We've been talking about desires the last three, four, five, maybe two or three Fridays about what you should desire. But he says their desires are the same as their father, the devil. And you want to... And he was a murderer from the beginning, refusing to uphold the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language or his native tongue, because he is a liar and the father of lies. like Brother Terry said, technology is a good thing, but sometimes. When Paul wrote his letter to the church at Ephesus, the letter was summed up in 6 chapters. That's an entire letter, but it was summed up. It was summed up in 6 chapters. And the chapter I'm going to be dealing with, as I told you, is chapter 4, which consists of part of that letter. Now, we call the verses in chapter 4, and there are 32 of them. Those 32 verses or scriptures are themselves broken down into 2 sections. Paul speaks in the first section about unity in the body of Christ. And then in the second section, he talks about the new life. Well, the new life is what you get if you take the invitation, which all of us have, but we're trying to get other people to accept that invitation so that they could have that new life, which actually also goes into eternity. So that's the 2 sections that Paul was talking about when he wrote the book of Ephesians. Now, you may ask, if we're going to be studying this Ephesians chapter 4, why did I start with a verse from the book of John? That's John chapter 8. We are going to be talking a little bit about lies and lying. The father, the devil, the father of lies. And the verse from John chapter 8 best points out who you represent as well as who you imitate when you lie. And it's so right here in front of us. And that's the beauty of the whole thing. The father of lies, you belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out his desires. You are emulating the devil when you lie. See, that's what caught me when I listened to this, when I was reading this on my Facebook page. It's like, that's the first thing that popped up. I'm not sure if Brother Carey quoted that because my mind started immediately writing this sermon. But yeah, you're emulating the devil. And if you can't serve what? Well, if you certainly can't serve God and money, you can't serve God and the devil at the same time either. So if you lie, right now, you're serving the devil. So let's just take a second to point out a few things about the verse. The devil refuses to uphold the truth. The devil has no truth in him. When the devil is speaking, he's speaking his native language. The devil is a liar. The devil is the father of lies. So why lie? I mean, if you consider that, this ought to be enough to say don't do it. And if we were talking about that, and Brother Carey Scott sent out this message via email on October 12, 2022. I don't know if he ever put it on one of the Facebook pages, but he sent it through the email. And I was inspired, and immediately my heart was drawn to type up my own lesson to shadow his. I pray he does not mind me highlighting a small piece of his lesson as a part of my own. Lying, now this is what Brother Carey put in the opening of his letter. Lying is sinful, and we know it. Yet we do it all the time. We must ask ourselves why we sin this way all the time. Perhaps it is because we have become used to it. And perhaps it is because everyone does it. It seems that few preachers have actually preached lessons about lying. And they should, because souls are at stake. While we read that liars will be cast into the lake of fire, which he quoted from Revelation 21:8, he didn't quote it, but he paraphrased it, we find that lying is so easy to do. We lie to hide the truth. We lie to make ourselves look better. Let's face it, we lie for without any number of reasons. Lying for no reason at all, souls are at stake once again. Why lie? And that was the question I got from reading what he said. You got souls at stake. Your soul's at stake. Why lie? What is it that you can do that's so bad that you have to lie to me? Or what is it that I can do that's so bad that I have to lie to any one of you? That I can't control or can't confess. Confess your sins one to another. Confess your sins to God because He's fair and just and He will forgive you. So there's nothing that I can do that I shouldn't be able to say, yes, I did it. And just take the consequences. So that's what made me think about that. And so, but I want you to notice something. And the thing that really drew my attention, and it said that notice when Brother Carey said, we. And being in the body of Christ himself, I can only imagine his lesson was to the body of Christ. Because he didn't say they. He didn't say the world. He said we. And maybe we need to think about we. I'm not saying anybody in this room is a liar. But I'm saying we need to think about it. And that's how I took the lesson, is we need to think about it. Now here's the interesting part. Paul's letter to the Ephesians was to the body of Christ as well. If you recall the beginning of this lesson, I highlighted that the first section of the chapter was dealing with talking about unity in the body of Christ. So Paul was talking to Christians at Ephesus. Now whether they were Gentile Christians or Jewish Christians, the church at Ephesus was a Christian church. And he was telling them. He was talking to them in Ephesians 4. Okay, so now, if you already turned there, we're going to go through some of Ephesians chapter 4. 4:1, he said, as a prisoner in the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling you have received. And in verse 2 it says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, and with diligence to persevere the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So that made me ask the question, what do you think lying does to the unity of the body of Christ? Brother Carey's online sermon pointed out some things we all needed to think about, because he said, we lie. We lie to ourselves. We lie to others. We even lie to God. It deserves some extra thought because he said we, because that is a we need to think about things. That is not an accusation. That's something we need to think about. As the body of Christ, we need to think about what comes out of our mouths. We talked a little bit about that a couple times. When you talk, everything that comes out of your mouth means something. So even if you're joking, we need to watch what comes out of our mouth. And that's how I took this. I did not take it as Brother Carey professing that the church is full of liars. I just think we need to think about it. It deserves some extra thought because he said we. I had to think about that for a moment. I had to examine myself. I had to take a long look way down deep inside because I wanted to make sure that was the furthest thing from the truth. I wanted to make sure that I never, ever said anything that can be misconstrued by anyone. And if I have, forgive me. Because there's nothing that you can do or I can do that I can't say, no, I shouldn't have to lie to you. We talk a little bit on a bit Friday and night's Bible class about falling short when it comes to God. But when we fall short in God's case, and lying to God would be high on that list, we usually repent, and we usually repent right away, because it's God And there is a reverence to God that makes people repent, because God can what? God can kill both the body and soul in hell. So we're known to repent quickly. I think that Sister Maureen, when we were talking Friday night, we were talking about even the things we think about sometimes, we immediately say, oh God, forgive me for that thought. It has not even come to fruition, and we're already asking God to forgive us. So when it comes to God, we normally hurry up and repent. The question is, what do we do when we lie to others? So, and I don't have the answer, but I let you think about it if it's happened. I know what you should do, but you come to that conclusion on your own. So what do we do? And you know, I know that if I make a mistake, I try to think about it, and I'll come and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that, or you know, you were right and I was wrong. And yes, it hurts. It hurts a lot, but I have to get it out because I was wrong. So right there, if I'm lying, I'm not walking worthy, I'm not showing lowliness or meekness, I'm certainly not endeavoring to keep unity, I'm not doing any of those things. So for the most part, verses 1, 2, and 3 might as well be just thrown out, because I'm not doing any of those. Verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Don't you think after reading that verse, if your habit or the habit of the world is lying and deceit and misleading, and I can throw the world in now, is deceiving and being misleading, that what? Certainly God is not in them, and they're not in God. So guess what? We can throw out chapters, we can throw out verse 6. That doesn't exist either. Verse 7. Now to each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he did leave captives away and gave them to men, and gifts to men. Where does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is the very one who ascended above all heavens in order to fill all things. And it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers, to equip the saints for work of ministry and to build up the body of Christ. Until when? Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, as we mature to the fullness of the stature of Christ. So when a person lies, there is certainly no showing of any spiritual maturity. I'm reading too fast. There's no showing of faith, and there's no proof of knowledge. That person certainly can't be, shouldn't be what? An evangelist? They shouldn't be a pastor, a preacher, or a teacher. Oh, and we're still captive. Or even if that part of the verse is not in the context, doesn't really matter. We're still captive, or we may be captivated, but whatever it is, we're committing sin. If being deceitful captivates you, you're in sin. So, yeah, we're going to throw out verses 11 through 13, too. Because none of those apply to us. 14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed about the waves and carried around by every wind of teaching, by the clever cunning of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow into Christ himself, who is the head. From him, the whole body, fitted and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself in love through the work of each individual part. And yes, 14, 15, and 16, gone. Because you certainly don't have this, mm-hmm. any of this, if you're telling lies, if you're in sin. It's good to hear, but it's not true. So 14, 15, and 16 are out. So I tell you, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Now you got to go back a little bit, because Gentiles didn't have everything back then. Okay, we're Gentiles now, but we're better equipped. So I realized that when I threw that in there. I knew that I would have to take you back all the way to when this thing first started. But as Gentiles now, unless you have some Jewish heritage, you're better equipped. Because we got what? We got the Bible. We've had the Bible for a long, long time. And we can pick it up and read it anytime we want to. And not everybody can do that. And we don't even look at it as a privilege. Well, I'm not saying anybody in here. I'm just saying overall. So I'm trying to be, you know, I'm trying to show you what we need to think about. So don't take it the wrong way. But if it's you, stop. And that's it, stop. Because I can run faster than most of y'all. Even if I started from here, if I could get past Brother Ray, I'm good. Now he's talking about those Gentiles back then when he say they are darkened in their understanding and alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. Having lost all sense of shame, they have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with a craving for more. When you start doing something wrong and it gets good, what do? You normally go to a deeper level of wrong. And I know we always take it when it comes to the bodily experience, but you can go from lying to stealing to murder to prison. Nobody gets away with everything. There are no more D.B. Coopers if there ever was one. Eventually you will get caught. But that's how you go. You go from one thing to the other. Very seldom do you say, oh, I gotta stop. If you're lucky, you're caught early. And somebody will turn you around. Guess what our job is? To turn. Brother Carey said it this morning. Well, we say it all the time when we give the invitation. He got on me about not giving the invitation, so you'll be getting one today. So he said it. It is what? It's a change of heart and a change of mind. So if you get caught early enough in the game, you may have a change of heart. But if you keep getting away with it, and keep getting away with it, and keep getting away with it, you're going to get hurt or you're going to jail. And that's the shameful part of it. But what did it say? They have lost all sense of shame. Having lost all sense of shame, they've given themselves over to it. So they can't, if they go too far, they can't be stopped. That's what he was saying about the Gentiles back then. It certainly shouldn't be true about us now. So if you're walking in the day as those Gentiles walk, we have the Bible. We have certainly enough teaching going on. There are a lot of good Church of Christ preachers who have dedicated a lot of their information to the web and YouTube and Facebook, and they teach some pretty good lessons. So you got enough people out there trying to say, do the right thing, that we ought to have a good lead. Because if that's exactly what we're doing now, and that is the case, maybe we're walking in the same as the Gentiles of that day. So of course, 17, 18, and 19 is just out of here. Those three verses don't even count. All of that's gone. But this is not the way you came to know Christ. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in keeping the truth that is in Jesus. To put off your former way of life, your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires. To be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, to create it to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off, and it says here, falsehood, and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members one of another. Now, this is the Berean Study Bible. The King James renders verse 25 as wherefore putting away lying. It was a little bit more direct than the King James. Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are all members one of another. Whether it is a falsehood or lying, I believe that online sermon was saying the same thing. Stop it. And oh, by the way, 20 through 25, you don't want to hear those either, because it just pointed out all the things that you refuse to do. So you don't get any of that, because you're lost. You're running around. You're starting down the wrong path. You're starting to enjoy, you know, the fact that gullible people like me will believe your lies. So it becomes fun, and I can get somebody else. So you don't get any of those. Much like the lesson from Brother Carey, it may seem strange that Paul should seriously exhort Christians or urge Christians to put away lying, implying that they were in the habit of indulging in falsehood. But I do want you to think about this. If someone is known as such, confidence cannot be placed in their statements, and where there is the slightest temptation to falsehood, they practice it without remorse. If I'm known for this, you're not going to have any confidence in me. As a matter of fact, right now, you're going to be asking, why is he up there? And if you're really, really, really hard, you're going to be asking, why is he in here? Because I'm not trying to be what? I'm not trying to be united with you all. See, so you can't have that. So Paul was saying exactly that. And so, whereas the Christians of Ephesus had been recently converted, now new converts, we have to get them to look up and we have to get them to think. So guess what? Remember I talked about aftercare? Well, we need to stay with them, and care. I think they call coming alongside or something like that. Well, we need to come along beside them and say, don't do that, don't do that. And they're not going to want you to say that, because, you know, most of them are going to be of an age that they think they can think for themselves, because they've been thinking for themselves all the time out in the world. But you got to tell them, you're not out in the world anymore. We got some things that you need to learn. That's why you're a babe in Christ. I tell people all the time, I'm probably the youngest member in this room in the body of Christ. I'm the babe in Christ in the room. Well, Sister Linda's the babe in Christ in the room. And I got her only by a few years. But, so, you got to stick with us. Let us know. I listen to Brother Carey 99.6% of the time. The other 4%, I'm not. But, if I would have said 100% what I would have been doing, I'd have been lying. See, it works that way. You got to catch yourself. I don't listen to them all the time. I listen to them most of the time. And you know, and I voiced my opinion. It's what I think that, you know, if yes, I will, or I'm not lifting any more pews. But that's not really true, because if I have to, I probably will. I'd be wanting to say I'm not going to lift anymore. But that's what I'm saying. We got to have people to come along. We got to watch what we're saying. Even if I was playing, forgive me. Even still, the effects of the former habits abide along, and after a man is converted, he has been in the habit of profane swearing, finds it difficult to stop swearing. He who has been all his life practicing deception will himself be tempted to practice it still. I think when we talk about that, most of the time, we talk about drinking. We used to talk about it all the time. Just because you dunk me in the water doesn't mean my desire to drink goes away. There's gonna be a conversion process, and now I drink, so everything else I'm pretty sure is even harder to do. Drugs is even harder to do. Lost two brothers to that stuff, so I know it's even harder to do. But lying is the same way, and we don't even think about it. I think, did you say that we don't teach on that too much anymore? Because we don't think about it. It's so common that we don't have those conversations. When you tell somebody you lied to me, they'll look at you and hunch their shoulders up. And that hurts even more. Remember when I said, what do? When you find yourself lying to others, you don't go back to them and say, forgive me. You don't apologize. You just think life should move on. Well, guess what? You committed a sin. Somewhere down the line, you need to ask for forgiveness for that sin. And I have to check it out. But you asking God for forgiveness and then not squaring things up, that's work. You got to square things up. That's where humility comes into it. That's where humbling yourself comes into it. Yeah, you may be a CEO of a company, and you may have said something to somebody who's been working for you for 2 weeks. But if it was wrong, you need to humble yourself and say, I'm sorry. And I need to be humble enough to say, that's okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And we, more than anybody, ought to have that humility, because the entire Bible is completely filled with people humbling themselves. And it's completely filled to a bunch of people who refuse to humble themselves before the mighty God. And they got carted off. And they got came back. And they got carted off. And they got came back. And they got, and that was what, through 6 or 7 different prophets. That's half of the Old Testament is Israel being carted off and making it back. Then you make it all the way back and build everything up, and then you forget about God, and then he does what? I'm going to go ahead and tear it all down and send you back out. We got to learn. We have to learn. Those people in Israel were waiting for what? They were waiting for a Messiah. What does it say? There is no other Messiah coming. You need to listen to this one. If someone who is in the habit of hiding defects or selling stuff that ain't worth anything and saying it's more than it's worth, put away lying. Stop telling people that. Stop selling that stuff. If someone who instructs a child to say that they are not at home when they are at home, or that they're sick when they're not sick, I'm going to call in to work and tell them they're sick. You're not sick. That's a lie. Call in to work and tell them the truth. I just don't want to be there today. I'm not having a good day. And guess what they'll tell you? Either they'll tell you, okay, we'll make some arrangements, or they'll tell you, I need you. And they say they need you, you get up and go, because they said what? If I could, I'd let you stay home. But that's because you told them the truth. Tell them, I don't want to be there today. That lady named Sheila, she is just getting on my last nerve. I can't get her to be quiet. But I told them the truth. Now, I still got to deal with Miss Sheila when I get there, because they might go to Miss Sheila and say, you need to leave Avery alone. he says you're starting to, you know, get his last nerve. But guess what? I told him the truth, and that may help us out. Oh. That may help us. Oh, she said no. Did you say no or oh?
I said oh.
Oh, okay. Because you say don't get on her bad side. Uh-huh. All right. So stop lying. Is it appropriate to remind Christians now? Well, yeah, if someone is in the habit of deceptive narratives or conveying a false impression by suppressing circumstances that are important to the right understanding, in other words, if you're lying about what happened, or you're not giving the whole story, stop lying. This is not me. This is what Paul is telling these folks in a certain way. I'm just trying to put it in a halfway decent way. And some of the words are a little bit big, but I do have a thesaurus. If someone's spreading rumors without investigating them, I don't know how, I've never investigated a rumor before. If someone is spreading things and without investigating it, then it becomes a rumor. And that circulates and is circulated as undoubted truth, which I don't, though they may be seriously affect the character and peace of another. That's in other words, the things that I say, I had to apologize to Brother Carey because I wanted to go over to Brother Russell's house. Brother Russell wasn't feeling well, so Brother Carey thought better not to say that. But when I was headed out that door a couple of weeks ago, I did say, Brother Carey won't let me come over to your house. So I had to apologize to Brother Carey because that may have had a bad glimpse on him. But he did. Brother Russell wasn't feeling well. And I did apologize. And I apologize again. I apologize 1,000 times because I shouldn't have said it. I thought I was being playful. A few people laughed, but it got me on the way home. And I said, I need to apologize for that. So I wanted to wait till I was in front of everybody. And I can say it since I said it in front of everybody. But we have to do that. So if someone is doing that, they need to stop. If someone is in the habit of making promises only to break them, don't y'all know that's telling somebody a lie when you tell them that they can do something or you're going to do something for them and then you don't do it? Don't overextend yourself. I know there are times when you want to do something and you can't do it. Then you just call them and say, you know, I wanted to do that, but I couldn't do it. I wanted to make it to that, but I couldn't make it. But not time after time after time after time. You gotta stop doing that. The world is full of all kinds of lies, and they are not all confined to the people of the world. Nothing is more important in a community than simple truth. And yet it is to be feared that nothing is more habitually disregarded. The world habitually disregards the truth. And they do it right in front of your face. And they act like you can't see. And we should definitely not be practicing that type of thing. No professing Christian can do any good who has not unimpeachable character for integrity and truth. And yet who can lay his hand on his breast and say before God that he is in all cases a man that speaks the simple and unvarnished truth? And before you say me, before you stick your hand up there, I think that somebody said that if anybody says that they're without sin, just make sure you're not a liar, but you got some kind of sin. So maybe you can get away without lying. Verse 20 and 21, Ephesians. But you have not so learned Christ. And if so, that be you have learned him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And Paul said after that, he said in Ephesians 4:26, be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun set upon your anger. And do not give the devil a foothold. That's it right there. Because the last thing we want to do is give the devil a foothold. Because that's how he gets in the door. We don't want to let him in the door. That's a better way to say it. We don't want to let him in the door. We do not. We don't want to invite him anywhere. Even if he does take us to the highest peaks and shows us all the kingdom of the land and says, if you bow down to me, this will be yours. We need to do the same thing Jesus did and quote him some scripture. And if you can't think of anything else, tell him, get thee behind me, Satan. So, but we don't want to give him a foothold. How do we keep from giving the devil a foothold? Well, he has been stealing, must steal no longer, but must work doing good with his own hands that he may have something to share with the one in need. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. And oh boy, see that right there is a good one. Because it is the one time when you're all together and all of a sudden the dozens start going on and they start flying back and forth. Then you know you cut and somebody cut a little deeper. And it's all in jest, it's all in playing, but a lot of it gets to be unwholesome because it hurts. That's what makes it unwholesome. It hurts. But we're just playing. I think y'all know what the dozens is, right? Okay. Do you know about mama jokes? That's what the dozens is. Yeah. Mama jokes, but you can just talk about other things. But that's how it is. That star said that, and all of a sudden you say something, and it's like, what? And now, see, so we need to watch that. We need to watch everything we say. I love to have fun with all of you, but we need to have wholesome fun. Wholesome fun. And how do we keep? And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God in whom you were sealed from the day of redemption. No, you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. He's telling you what to do. He's bringing all things. He's bringing everything to remembrance. He's trying to help you as best he can because Jesus said what? He's coming to comfort you after I leave. He's comforting us. We need to let him comfort us. We need to do everything we can to follow the Bible so he can help us. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, outcry, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and tenderhearted to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. So if you read all of that and you're thinking about just the context of the entire lesson, and I think I did, but if you can get that email and read Brother Carey's email, and I'm pretty sure all of you already read it, so you're thinking about a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about anyway, then you can go through all that and you can see what Paul said in Ephesians, which I just read a lot of, and you can get to here. But if you got all those problems that we were talking about, if you got all those problems we're talking about, so 27 to 32, you don't get those either. You don't get any of those. So I must think about what I say, and as I said, even in jest, and surely we cannot convince the world of righteousness and of right and wrong by doing wrong. I pray that I'm always being honest with you and you with me and me with the world, whether they like it or not. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He's my Lord and Savior. You know it's true. Don't ever let them convince you to say it's not. Because you pay a higher price. So what does lying do? Well, we're going to read Ephesians chapter 4 with all the things that lying takes away. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, if you can keep that one. Ephesians 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, you can keep that. Ephesians 4, 7, now to teach one of us grace has been given according to the measures of Christ. 8, this is what it says, When he ascended on high, he led the captives away and gave gifts to men. Yes, he did that. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? He did that. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down. Well, if you're telling everybody lies, you ain't going to bed very angry. Unless what? Unless you get caught in one. But if I didn't beat you out of something, I'm not angry when I go to bed. But we need to make sure that we follow that as well. So lying means you only hear what you want to hear. And that's all you get to hear. That's what lying does. That's what it does to Ephesians chapter 4. And a couple of these still might not have been in there. But when you eliminate all the good stuff, all you hear is the stuff that we can't refute. So we need to be an example to a lost and already misguided world. Be truthful, though, so they will know why they need to be in the body of Christ. And like I told Brother Carey area, this doesn't say anything about the whole of the body of Christ. This is something we need to think about. But anybody that's watching needs to think about the fact that you need to be in the body of Christ. And the way that you do that is, and we offer your invitation, tell you to try to find a Church of Christ in your area or your neighborhood, write us an email. But what you need to do is you need to hear God's word, then you need to believe God's word, then you need to repent of your sin, which may have a change of heart and a change of mind to follow Christ. And then you need to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we'll teach you if we have to. And when we know that you know what you need to know, we'll baptize you. And everything will be washed away. And you'll be a part of the body of Christ. I think Paul said it was, you'll be able to put on Christ. And if you want to know what all of that's about, you go to Acts chapter 2. You can start at 32. You might want to start at 1. And you can go all the way up to 41. And Peter explains it pretty well. And that's the invitation. And we hope and pray that someone watching might take it up. And we give you that opportunity. And I know everyone here is Christians. And I love you all for putting up with me yet again. But we're going to give people the time to think about that as we stand and sing the Savior's invitation.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.